This is More Financial Talk with Ryan Moore from Retirement Solutions Group. You need a financial strategy that accounts for challenges like market volatility and inflation, and that also adequately prepares you for retirement. The purpose of More Financial Talk is to address common financial concerns, provide helpful strategies, and offer ways you may be able to achieve your financial goals. And now here's More Financial Talk. Keep more in your pocket.
Welcome to More Financial Talk. I'm Ryan Moore, and with me today is co-host Tony Shore. How are you, Tony?
I'm doing great. I was in your backyard basically last weekend, hanging out in Brentwood with some friends, and wow, did we have some great food while we were there.
Excellent.
Yeah, we ate at so many great restaurants. I love, again, the breakfast at, I went to Ruby Sunshine. We ate at the Puffy Muffin. Have you ever had breakfast at the Puffy Muffin in Brentwood?
I haven't. Did you opt for your Eggs Benedict?
I had the Eggs Benedict at the Ruby Sunshine. It was delicious. So good. So good. How have you been, Ryan? You've been busy,
doing
haven't
well.
You?
Sorry we missed you that night. We were attending a cheerleading competition in downtown Nashville. Still getting my ears recovered from that. I forgot my earplugs that evening. So
was it loud?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, but it was definitely an experience. But
sure, those things are wild. Yeah, well, family has to come first. It was your family,
wife's sisters, children that participate in a lot of that. So it was,
Uncle Ryan has to make an appearance, right?
You know it. Yeah, but it was good.
It was fun. That's great. So, Ryan, you said you wanted to talk about the importance of planning. And I mean, it seems like every show somehow planning comes up. But I think it is important to stop and let people know why it is so important to have a plan financially and for retirement, right?
Absolutely. I mean, especially when you have volatile times, a lot going on in the world and in the markets, I thought this would be a timely topic. You know, part of it is, you know, I believe if you don't know what's going on with your money, how do you expect to have peace of mind or even sleep well at night, right? So that's where proper planning comes in. And so really the first part of it is, you know, making sure you're educated. You know, one of my favorite sayings from Ben Franklin, I've said this a number of times, but failing to plan is planning to fail. So,
yes,
you know, I think I'm built for what I do. And, you know, I probably drive my wife nuts having to plan every little thing all the time. But
you are a planner. I mean, you are in, Ryan, for people who get to know you, your clients, your family, friends, you are a planner, a meticulous planner. And that's why you've been able to help so many people. You are in the perfect job. That's for sure.
Yeah. Perfectionism, by the way, is a mental disorder, but I think my clients appreciate that.
Sure.
It pays to be organized and thinking. You know, I try to play chess, Tony. I'm trying to think a few steps ahead here. So
that's smart. And that's why having someone like yourself is so important, because of the importance of planning. You have to have a plan in place. And you don't have the big picture. But your clients and our listeners and viewers out there, I don't want to have to worry about it. I don't want to have to do all the math. I don't know all the pitfalls to look out for. My wife and I, we want somebody who knows how to avoid costly mistakes with our finances, with the money we're going to need in retirement. And that's why a plan is so important. And that's why you're so important, or a trusted financial professional. If it's not you, you have to work with a trusted financial professional on a plan, right?
Yeah, I believe so. But on that note, I mean, nobody's got a crystal ball. So the reality is, I think that you need to invest some time in your own situation. That being said, you know, the first topic that we'll touch on here is, you know, the willingness to commit some time to plan for your own financial future. If you're working alongside, you know, a professional, that professional should ultimately be educating, guiding, counseling. But at the same token, I think people need to have a vested interest in their own situation naturally. So making an effort. Now, that being said, I know that financial planning is not everybody's forte, and for some it's, you know, uncomfortable. But, you know, let's be real. It's your future. It's your livelihood. So, you know, there's a saying in our industry that some people will take more time planning for a 2-week vacation than they will their retirement. So that, you know, makes me cringe a little bit. But
yeah, but I believe it. I mean, I believe people spend more time planning a vacation than they probably have planning out their retirement. That's the troubling part of it.
Yeah. So I think, you know, part of it is fear of the unknown and just uncomfortable with it not being, like I said, somebody's forte. But I think if you have the right professional working with you, the goal for me is to empower people, right? Empower people to learn. And when they start to learn and connect dots, I think they're going to get more confident and they're going to start to not cringe as much and ultimately, you know, appreciate what they're learning and then they get more engaged. So part of it is, you know, who's coaching you along and if you're getting education as opposed to somebody that's really just, you know, directing instead of, you know, empowering and guiding. I think there's a big difference there.
Well, yeah, and I think it is so important, obviously, to work with a financial professional. This is the key, and you need to know what's in the plan. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why you need to have a plan. And where do you start? Some people are probably like, where do I start? How do I get
where do I even begin? Yeah. Right. I think some of the basics, right, is, you know, for one, you know, getting under the hood of your own situation, understanding your budget, right? And that's the part that can feel like cleaning closets because not everybody wants to get a true glimpse of how money is flowing out of the household, right?
Sure.
That being said, I think that's a good place to start. So when you're building a plan, we do need some baseline assumptions, right? What are we trying to ultimately solve for when we're looking to retire? What do we think we're going to need to live off of to maintain our standard of living, to enjoy life comfortably in the way that we want?
Right.
And so even if retirement is a ways out, we still have to get an understanding of what we're trying to solve for. And with that, you know, there's also inflation. So we don't always know what the purchasing power of the dollar is going to be a few years down the road. So we can look at inflation calculators that can ultimately give us a gauge of what, you know, what dollars are going to get us by at that stage in time. So I think starting with a budget is the first step. And then from there, another baseline assumption is what is our target retirement age? Right. When do we want to try to retire? You know, part of that is going to be looking at how we've saved, you know, where our nest egg dollars have accumulated. And that requires some proactive planning assumptions as well. So there's a lot of planning tools that ultimately can pull all of this together that will project based on where you're going to end up in terms of what you're contributing to your future, your retirement accounts. You know, looking at some growth assumptions to get a gauge of, you know, the timeline of are we going to, you know, get there in terms of our needs in line with when we're trying to retire. So
sure.
You got to get some assumptions and we got to start building a plan around that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it starts with I know people hate the B word, but really it starts with a spending plan, knowing where you're at and creating that plan, knowing how much you're going to need to live. Right. And having a bucket for your monthly bills and then how much you're going to need in an emergency fund and then discretionary spending and
the fun money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think planning that out and while you're still in your working years, budgeting, okay, how much are we spending each month on necessities and bills and things? And then how much will we need beyond that and for what? Right.
Yeah. And another factor could be, you know, if you've been paying down the mortgage on your house, you know, when is the timing for your house to be paid off relative to aligning with retirement or maybe a few years into retirement where the expenses will drop or, you know, maybe you're supporting kids through college, you know, all those things can be evaluated and ultimately projected to try to really hone in on where the need lands timing wise.
Sure. So. Sure. And so that's where you start. What's next?
Yeah. So a big puzzle piece is going to be Social Security timing, right? For many, Social Security benefits are going to equate to 30 to 40% of their overall income. And so, you know, many, I think, are aware of the fact that the longer you wait to turn it on, the bigger the benefit is going to be. But it's not just as simple as delay as long as possible. There's more to it than that, I believe. And that's where we use software programs, you know, optimizing software that's going to show the most beneficial timing in terms of maximizing your lifetime benefits. Because especially in a spousal situation, there's a lot of age combinations. And the software is going to calculate life expectancy. And if there's an age difference between spouses, what is the optimized timing to turn that on? Now, many of these optimization software programs are going to suggest that you delay longer because you'll get a bigger benefit. But there's more to it than that. I don't believe that Social Security is a mutually exclusive puzzle piece. So we want to run that software to get the data and the intel. However, think about it like this. The latest you can turn on your Social Security is age 70. But if you're going to retire at 65 and you don't turn on Social Security at that point and you're delaying till 70, then that's a big chunk of income that is going to come from where? You're going to have to take it from the nest egg. And in that regard, you could really be putting a lot of strain on the nest egg. And then, God forbid, one of the spouses dies prematurely in their early 70s, and their survivor will lose the lesser of the two Social Security benefits and get left with a depleted nest egg. So we want to look at what the software tells us, but then also try to tie that puzzle piece in with the rest of the puzzle pieces as it relates to your savings, your nest egg, and what you're trying to solve for. So I think that's where some expertise comes in, and ultimately, you know, educating people on why the timing of Social Security is going to be recommended the way that it is, and not just, you know, do this haphazardly, say, oh, well, I'm just going to turn it on at X, or I'm going to turn it on as early as possible because I'm afraid it's going to go away. You know, that's making a decision out of fear and emotion, and that's never a good idea.
Well, yeah. And yeah, you don't want to ever make financial decisions out of fear or based on your emotions, but so many people do. I mean, we're human. It's human nature to do that, but you want to try to avoid that at all costs. That's how people make expensive mistakes like filing for Social Security at the wrong time. I'm glad you talked about that because when to file is huge. And I, you know, I've read all the surveys based on government data from SSA.gov, and the Social Security Administration says that the majority of people who file at 62. And the reason they're doing that is because it's the earliest you can file, and it's what their neighbor did or what a buddy at work did. And some people say, no, I got to wait till 65, or I got to wait till 67. And it's just, or I have to file at 62. And it's just because a relative or a friend did that. And everybody's
or your landscaper, right?
Yeah. Or your landscaper. Well, and so, you know, but your situation is different. Your time horizon is different. Your retirement goals are going to be different. You don't want to do what they did. You want to maximize your Social Security for your situation. That may mean, like you say, filing at 62. It may mean waiting until 70. Everybody's situation is going to be different. There's 62 in 2 months. There's 64 in 4 months. There's, you know, 68. There are so many different times, all with a different result, that you can file for Social Security between 62 and 70. You want to make that decision in the wisest way, in the most educated way possible. And I know, Ryan, that you have a report you can run, put in just some personal information about their situation, and see where the sweet spot is, where you'll get the most out of Social Security, and then go from there, right?
Yeah, I think it needs to be specific to each individual's circumstances. And I think that's where customization comes in.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I find a little frustrating in my industry is that many advisors, you know, they ignore certain aspects of retirement needs, and Social Security is a big one of those. You know, I've done a lot of Social Security workshops over the years, and I'll fill the room. And I know that most people in there have an advisor. So the question is, why are they there to listen to me when they have somebody that's they're already working with? And quite frankly, it's many of these advisors haven't taken the time in their career to really learn Social Security and the timing. And they'll just say, well, that's not something that we do, or, you know, you got to kind of figure that out on your own. And that's when you start to get disjointedness. You know, one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. And that, again, is not favorable in my opinion. And that's not creating a cohesive planning approach. And so as much as I didn't love learning Social Security years and years ago, I knew that it was going to be extremely beneficial since it's a decision that everybody faces in retirement. And I think it's a key component to the overall, puzzle that everybody's got to solve. And so, you know, that's how we approach it. But I think a customization is ultimately what people deserve because it's specialized to their personal circumstances. And we take a lot of pride in approaching it that way.
Yeah, I think that's really good. So Social Security is a big part of planning. It is important. What else do we need to plan for as far as finances and retirement?
Sure. The healthcare topic is the next probably top on the list, right?
So whether it's one of the biggest expenses people are going to have, right?
Absolutely. And that's another not so fun topic. You know, we call it alphabet soup, but, you know, well over a decade ago, I learned Medicare kind of kicking and screaming, but for the same reasons as Social Security, you know, it's a valuable knowledge to have and a decision that everybody typically has to make. And so sometimes I'll run into a lot of people that will say, you know, we're not retiring yet because we're trying to wait till we get on, you know, Medicare age.
Right.
And if you have a
65,
a husband that's still working, that's older than their spouse, and they may delay retiring at 65 until a later age until the spouse is 65. Yeah. So that because if the working spouse retires and they come off group insurance, then it would leave the other spouse without health insurance. So it's tough for me to hear people are not retiring because of the healthcare topic. So there are other ways to look at healthcare outside of marketplace when you're not quite at Medicare age yet, but that's also something that you can budget in and then ultimately, you know, transition onto Medicare, which should ultimately reduce some of the expenses. And so, you know, Medicare and healthcare is a pretty big topic and something that is a big consideration in the planning process.
Yeah. Yeah. That's got to be a huge one. I know that healthcare expenses and long-term, in addition to just your normal healthcare expenses, long-term care. But Ryan, a lot of people, and I used to think this, a lot of people assume that healthcare is going to be covered by Medicare. They'll have, you know, they'll pay maybe the Medicare premium each month, but that'll be it. And they don't have to worry about healthcare costs, but there's still premiums, deductibles, copays, out of pocket, maximum out of pocket, minimum out of pocket. So, I really think that, it doesn't cover everything. It doesn't cover hearing, vision, or dental, standard Medicare, at least. You have to have some kind of supplement or advantage plan. And it adds up over time, over your retirement, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then prescription drugs.
Yeah, drugs.
It's a loaded topic. I mean, we could do. Yeah.
Well, sure. We could do a year of shows on Medicare and medical costs in retirement.
Fortunately, I'll just say this. Fortunately, at this stage of my career, you know, as I've built rock solid team around me, I've got an amazing Medicare expert.
That's great.
We've done a show with him in the past.
Yes.
His name's Norm. I call him Uncle Norm, even though we're not related, but. He worked for Humana for 19 years as a sales manager for Medicare. And I call him a unicorn just because he loves this stuff, which is such a rare, find to have a guy like Norm on our team. And he's got so much patience and he really prides himself on knowing all the nuances on all the different options. So he takes the same approach, which is educating people to empower them to make intelligent decisions on their healthcare and not trying to steer one way or another. So with that, we've got a great resource, in-house that will help people in that regard. And that's a big one because that's a topic in and of itself that can keep people up at night. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Healthcare is a big one. So what's next?
Well, one that's near and dear to our planning approach, which is tax planning. Right.
Taxes, probably the biggest healthcare and taxes, the two biggest things that people don't realize they have to plan for and two biggest expenses. Right.
Absolutely. So oftentimes I'll say it's not what you save, it's what you keep.
Right.
And, you know, again, another very loaded topic here, but I've taken a lot of time in my career to focus on that aspect of planning for folks because The vast majority of savers for retirement save in the pre-tax, tax-deferred buckets of IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, all the while under the concept that they're going to be in a lower tax bracket when they retire. And that's just simply not playing out. The baby boomer generation tends to want to maintain the same standard of living as they did when they were working in retirement. And for that reason, they're not really in a lower tax bracket because they're solving for similar income, 80 to 100% of their wage income to be able to live that standard of living, where typically their parents, the older generation, they downshifted their lifestyle when it was time to retire and live more meagerly. And that's not today's times. And I understand that. But that being said, when the bulk of your nest egg is, you know, committed to these pre-tax accounts that are deferring taxes to a later date, you essentially have a partner in those accounts, and that's the federal government. And that's a difficult partnership when you don't have any say in that arrangement. And that's what makes people exposed to legislative risk if tax codes change. You know, what are tax rates going to be years down the road? I don't think any of us would know. And it's not so much what side of the political aisle you're on, but more about having an awareness that Washington is always changing things, right?
Yeah.
And so
for sure.
Regardless, there's, you know, we have elections every 2 years. And so I think that some of this, because people save that way, needs to be confronted. And we believe that, you know, taxes essentially are kind of on sale right now. And these may be the cheapest tax rates that we'll see in the rest of our lifetime. So
we're in historically low tax rates, like you say. And I think that's a great point. And, but we're also looking at close to $40 trillion in debt. So I believe taxes are going to go up. And I think most conventional wisdom and the financial gurus out there say, yeah, they're going to have to raise taxes at some point.
Right. So if you can do some planning proactively, which is, you know, maybe settle up some of that tax bill now by way of converting to Roth accounts, which grow the money tax-free and eliminate the partner, and you're creating, you know, tax diversification. So you're going to have more flexibility in retirement and be able to live more efficiently from a tax perspective. But if you just lend a blind eye to it, ultimately you're going to be forced to react. And then I think at that point it can be too late. So, you know, we go heavy on this topic too, Tony, as you know, but we rely on a lot of resources. I pride myself on surrounding myself with not just, you know, staff that have the same vision that I do and, you know, same goal of servicing our clients to the higher level, higher degree, but strategic partners on a national level that bring a lot of tools to the table as far as running, you know, what we call a tax bill calculator or another report that is called Roth Done Right. As you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had Becky Swansburg on, who's the CEO of Stonewood Financial. She worked in D.C. with congressmen and women on tax law reform. And so, you know, she runs a business now that supports advisors nationally that provides tools to really help people, you know, look at the math behind the numbers. And, you know, I have opinions about this and I can talk concept all day, but it's not the world according to Ryan. And what we want to do is wake people up to the reality of this situation, but then let the math speak, do the work to ultimately put the numbers together. And then they can make an intelligent decision as to what they think is best for their future as it relates to this topic. So, so this is a big one, and this is one that we pride ourselves on. And again, head scratching why more advisors don't focus on this in their practice, but they don't. And so for that reason, it does make us pretty valuable and separates us from a lot of the other, you know, advisors out there.
Yeah, exactly. It does, because you look at the big picture and these are critical areas. I mean, the future tax planning aspect and the Medicare specialist and healthcare costs aspect. These are the two, every study, all the research points to, these are the two areas that people will spend the most of their money on in retirement. And a lot of people don't quite grasp that. I'm glad you're talking about it, because awareness is a big part of the battle, but then having a solid plan to deal with it is next. And that's where you come in.
Yeah, being strategic, but also customizing it for everybody's situation and also getting a gauge on what's going to make them comfortable. If they do want to confront some of the taxes, there are people that can be, you know, more aggressive about it because they see the writing on the wall, and others that may be, you know, a more moderate approach to confronting the taxes. And it's not about trying to pull people out of their comfort zone, but really just addressing it in some fashion or another, and incorporating that in a plan that they can start to see proactively down the road how confronting it is going to benefit us. And that's where these tools, reports, and income plans really provide that almost look into the future. So we want to look and see where we want to end up and reverse engineer how we get there. And that's a proactive approach instead of reacting when it's upon you, which oftentimes is too late.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's great. And that's, this is the key to planning, isn't it? So is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up the show?
We'll start to pull all this together. But I mean, obviously, investment management, right? How you're allocating your money is a big part of planning.
Sure.
So to just keep that pretty succinct, I mean, for one, you want to know your risk tolerance. You got to know what your comfort level is relative to the market. You don't want to be so exposed that when we have pullbacks in the market that you're not sleeping at night. And, you know, I get it. It's going to be emotional when it comes to our own money. Also, one of the benefits in working with a professional is we can take the emotions out of it because we're there to educate and guide and counsel oftentimes when we get to some of the bumpy times, you know, in the markets with things that are going on in the world. And certainly we're dealing with some of that right now. So having the right risk tolerance, which then ties to how you're allocating your money. And, you know, I also think you can be overexposed to bonds, just trying to be more conservative. Bonds are not, you know, producing what they used to in terms of yield or carrying their weight. And so I think a common path that people go down with many of these advisors is getting into these cookie cutter type plans, which, you know, are model plans. And it's really passive management instead of active management, which doesn't allow for nimbleness in terms of moving in the direction of opportunity and momentum, because not every area of the market is going to be good at the same time. In addition to that, having some risk mitigation measurements within the portfolio. I mean, it wasn't that long ago in 2022 where, you know, the aggregate bond index was down 16%. And a lot of times people think they're, you know, going to be more conservative by loading up more on bonds, and under the wrong conditions, you could be going from the frying pan to the fire.
Yeah.
And so to have an understanding and a wherewithal about asset allocation is very important. And then, as you know, Tony, I mean, we work with professional money managers to try to bring next level planning to the table for our clients. And that's where, you know, I think we get some cutting edge strategies that are nimble and are not just riding the roller coaster. So, you know, oftentimes I tell people, let's get you off the roller coaster and have more active management, which is going to be more strategic in nature and ultimately be able to weather the times through risk mitigation strategies, and then also capitalize when things are going well. But also, you know, trying to time the market can be pretty futile, like as far as, you know, when darting in and out, because you can miss the big bounce back days. Like a day like yesterday was a pretty huge day in the markets. And if you were trying to, you know, pull out waiting for, you know, turbulence or conditions in the world to calm down, you can miss the ride back up. So I think it's important to stay invested, but do it in a manner that you have a plan and you're working the plan and you know, staying on course. You know, oftentimes staying the course will pay off a lot more in the long run than trying to time things, because even the best professional money managers will tell you, you know, timing the market is not easy, and ultimately nobody's got a working crystal ball. So
right. Yeah. Yeah. It's time in the market, not timing the market, as Warren Buffett always said, right?
Yeah, that's right. So to bring all this together, Tony, I mean, we take an approach that goes like this. We want to plan for the worst. We want to hope for the best. And part of that is within the plan. And now when I keep saying plan, we're talking about a written income plan that incorporates all of this, our income goal, our tax planning, our Social Security timing, if there's pension dollars, if there's rental income. And it's all extrapolated out over 30 years. So we start to see how things are going to project. And that's the thing that can give people confidence that, hey, we've made it, we can do this now, we can transition into retirement. But it's also the thing that keeps people with peace of mind and being able to sleep well at night. And when we use conservative growth estimates on the investments, then we're essentially creating an under-promise, over-deliver scenario, and we're erring on the side of caution. So if we project things out 30 years using conservative growth estimates and those numbers look good, then I tell people you should feel very comfortable that there's a good likelihood that this is going to materialize, come to fruition, and ultimately allow you to enjoy life without worrying about this all the time. So it starts with getting informed, being educated, know what's going on with your money. If you know what's going on with your money, you're going to sleep better at night. And that doesn't mean that you're going to be a complete expert. You just are working with somebody that's keeping you informed, up to speed on why and what is going on. And, you know, knowledge equals peace of mind. So it's all about having a plan.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And you've really driven home the importance of financial planning and especially retirement income planning and doing it in advance. So before we go today, Ryan, let our listeners and viewers know how they can get a hold of you to set up that no charge, no obligation consultation.
Absolutely, Tony. So you can give us a call at area code 615-467-6300. You can also email our office at info@rsgtn.com. or just simply check out our website at rsgtn.com. And one other quick little plug, Tony. So right on our homepage now, we have what's called the tax bill calculator. It's a way to basically real easy, 5 minutes, plug in some of your numbers and try to get a sense of what kind of tax bill you're facing for these deferred accounts. So we're really trying to drive people to understand what they're up against on the whole, you know, tax consequences of saving a certain way. And we've got some really nice tools on our website to check out to really start to get an understanding of what they're up against or facing if they don't do any proactive planning. So,
wow, that sounds like a great resource. And I know you have that resource and others on the website. What's the web address once again?
Yeah, rsgtn.com.
All right. Well, thanks, Ryan. Listeners and viewers, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of More Financial Talk with our host, Ryan Moore.
Thank you for joining us for More Financial Talk. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact Ryan Moore at Retirement Solutions Group at 615-467-6300 or visit rsgtn.com. Join us again soon for another episode of More Financial Talk. Keep more in your pocket.
Advisory services are offered by Retirement Solutions Group, Inc., an investment advisor. Insurance products and services are offered independently through Ryan Moore and Greg McGee, sole proprietors. All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.